It didn't take long for all the ladies to come too. Actually, Randy was the last one to wake up. Nobody was the worse for wear, though Tua was very ashamed that I, a mere normal human, had been able to knock her out. She offered Harv, and me, 1,000,000 credits just to destroy any video recording Harv may have made. As tempting as the offer was, I turned it down. I did promise Tua, and so did Harv, that the video would never see the glare of the world media. Just as long as Tua didn't get too pushy. She agreed. Tua realized that if she ever pushed me too hard, I might end up suffering from amnesia. If that happened, the video might accidentally end up being broadcast worldwide over the Peapod network. True, it may not have been the ideal good guy thing to do, but this woman had tossed me around pretty good for the last 5 years. It felt nice to have some leverage for once. The good news was, Tua and Eleanor now both realized once again that Natasha was the one who had to be found and stopped. My hunch was, the finding wouldn't be that tough. Stopping her, though, that was an entirely different story. A story I wasn't sure I wanted to experience.
Time to collect all our assets. We need to figure out the best way to go after and stop Natasha.
We quickly organized a meeting of minds. Electra, Carol, Tua, Helena, Eleanor, Liz, Greg, in full clown bodyguard armor, JJ Farah, and I were all crammed around a small table in a back cubicle of Randy's lab that he called a conference room. With Carol back to normal and Tua back to what passed as normal, they could erase or minimize Natasha's influence over this group, making sure none of them hated me any more than normal.
We need to find Natasha sooner than possible.
We?
Yes, Zach. It's obvious you can't handle her alone, so next time we will be going with you.
Well, not all of us. In my youth, I would have gladly donned battle armor and butted heads with her. Today, though, my skills are better lent to other tasks. I will send one of my bodyguards, Liz Lazor.
I'm also much better way in the background, though I will gladly offer Eleanor to the fight if she wishes to go.
I do wish to kick the bitch's ass.
I think I have a pretty good idea where Natasha is. Niagara Falls.
Why there?
Just one of my PI hunches. Actually, it was more than a hunch. Niagara Falls was the next closest spot from the posters on Natasha's wall. She may have had a lot of Carol's genes, but Natasha was raised in a strict and ordered military way. It made sense that she would do her vacation in the most efficient way.
So we have to go on one of your hunches? I'm not comfortable with that.
I, not being big on hunches, have data to corroborate Zach's deduction.
Harv's image morphed into one of a waterfall. A very big waterfall. The image was so real I had to fight the urge to go to the bathroom. Looking at the waterfall were hundreds, if not thousands, of tourists.
This was Entercorp's Niagara Falls 15 minutes ago. This is how the falls looks now.
Same waterfalls, only there was nobody there. Yet the sun was shining, the sky was blue.
Maybe it got really, really cold.
It's unseasonably warm, 16 Celsius.
Any sign of the beach?
Harv's face superimposed itself onto the waterfall.
Nope.
I'm not surprised she can shield herself from cameras and scanners. She is a cunning one.
She could be just trying to throw us off track.
I stood up just to make sure I was noticed. Oh, she's there all right. I'm sure of it. Everyone nodded in agreement. Well, almost everyone.
You're sure you're sure?
110% sure.
Trust him, Mother. Zach knows what he's talking about.
Helena looked across the table at Tua.
Will Earth Force send reinforcements?
Not until we confirm it is her. We can't spend money sending high-paid special units off on wild, superhuman chases.
I understand.
We should have enough firepower in this room to stop Natasha.
Everybody in the room nodded in agreement. Everybody except for Carol and me. Carol and I had gone up against Natasha. We knew what she was capable of. Frankly, I wasn't sure if we could stop her if we had 10 times the man, or woman power.
You have 5 minutes to collect your thoughts and any items you might need. Then I'll teleport us there.
Remember, my talents are better utilized here.
I remember and I agree.
I don't think JJ should go either.
What?
If we fail, we're gonna need somebody else to rally the next round of troops. I want that to be you.
Oh. Okay, that makes sense.
Electra, you shouldn't go either.
Mi amor, I can handle myself with the best of them. I've proven myself on many occasions.
True, but you're also the best doctor I know. We're bringing a lot of firepower down on Natasha. You're the only healer we've got.
When the man is right, he's right. I didn't put you through medical school to have you going off on wild superhuman chases.
Very well.
So it's agreed. Ladies and Zach, we'll meet outside in 3 minutes.
The others got up and left. Only Electra and I held back. She took my hand.
Now you are going to be careful, correct, amor?
like always.
Zack, my mother is finally starting to learn to tolerate you. Don't go getting yourself killed.
I kissed her and left. After a few minutes of bathroom breaks and collecting our thoughts, we gathered outside of Randy's lab. It surely was an interesting crew. Carol, Liz Laser, Farah, Eleanor, Tua, and I were set for travel. Electra, Helena, Greg the Clown, Randy, and JJ were there for moral support. Well, at least Electra was there for support. Randy and JJ were there, mostly to ogle the women. Helena was probably there to make sure I didn't screw things up too badly. In true politician form, she wanted to be in charge without ever doing anything. Those of us that were making the trip to the falls gathered in a tight circle maybe 6 meters from the lab. Tua stood inside the circle, giving her last-minute instructions.
Okay, when we get to the falls, our first goal is to confirm Natasha's presence. Once we are sure she's there, I call in backup and we take her out. Simple as pie. Any questions?
I was the only one to raise my hand.
Yes, Zack?
How do you call that simple?
Okay, maybe not simple as eating pie, but simple as making pie. Any other questions? Yes, Zack?
I thought personal teleporting over long distances was still dangerous.
Zack, that's a statement, not a question.
Liz, Farah, and Eleanor all nodded in agreement behind her. Apparently, we were playing Jeopardy in more ways than one. I didn't mention that reference because it would have been lost on this crowd.
Okay. How can we use your personal teleporter to teleport such large distances safely?
Just watch.
The next thing I knew, we were all standing on teleport pads. Looking around, it also seemed that we were now all in a small spaceship. Tua saw the looks of confusion on our faces.
If this is Niagara Falls, then their promos have way overstated the place.
We're on my personal spacecraft, which is constantly orbiting the Earth.
Now we all just looked at her.
It's one of the perks that comes from being a billionaire, ex-superhero, ex-World Council member, current freedom fighter.
Wow, nice work if you can get it.
Zack may be a bit of a coward and a chicken when it comes to teleporting, but he's right. You need a full-blown teleport pad to port more than a few K.
So you're gonna teleport us to the falls from here?
Yes. My computer system and Harv are working together. They have tapped into security cameras at the falls, so they can not only get us near to where Harv believes Natasha is, but also assure that we materialize in open space.
Everybody nodded that that was a good thing. Why couldn't you just say that while we were on the ground?
Why, Zack? I'm both a woman and a high-ranking Earth Force official. Surely I get to keep some secrets.
Yeah, surely.
All right, team, look alive. We're transporting now.
First thing I felt was my feet back on solid ground. Nice, soft, green, solid ground. I saw grass and wide open spaces in front of me. Turning toward the sound of the water, I could see the falls. I hadn't been here in years, but the massive, constant cascade of the crystal-clear falling wall of water was still an impressive sight. As much progress as man has made, we still can't build anything near as awe-inspiring as this. Looking over the area once more, it was devoid of any humans besides my team and me. It was a beautiful day, clear blue sky with the sun shining high and bright. There may have been a slight nip in the air, but this was Niagara Falls in December. There was supposed to be a nip in the air.
Any sign of Natasha?
The rest of the team shook their heads no.
I'm guessing she's hovering over the water.
That does sound like fun.
Move it, troops.
Somebody has been watching way too many old war flicks.
I heard that, soldier.
I'm a cognitive information processor, not a soldier.
Whatever you are, be prepared.
Walking toward the falls, the others were at least trying to take in the scenery. I moved alongside Carol.
Nice place, huh?
It is lovely and so peaceful. We have to come back here sometime when we're not hunting a power-mad evil superwoman.
Hard to believe the number of times I've heard that statement in my life. We reached the railing overlooking the falls. We all peered over it. No Natasha, at least at first. Then Tua pointed a bit down from the main area of the falls. There she was, hovering peacefully over the water.
There. That must be her.
Let's hope it's not some other ultra-powered superwoman.
Don't worry. I've used my supervision to confirm it is her. Let's get in position.
We hurried down until we were nearly parallel to Natasha's position. She didn't seem to care, or even notice that we were there.
Let's take her out now, while she's doing her meditating crap.
Tua held up a finger.
Hold on. I've called for reinforcements.
She pointed behind us. We all turned.
One Annabelle android cyborg appeared. Then another, and another, and another appeared until there were 11 of them. I thought there were at least 12 Annabelles.
There are. We're holding one back, just in case.
The Annabelles marched up to us in formation. They reached Tua, all saluting at once.
Annabelle's reporting for duty, ma'am.
Tua had a wide smile on her face as she returned the salute. She spun toward Natasha and pointed at her dramatically.
That's our target. Hit her hard and fast.
Hold on, hold on!
Everyone looked at me.
Yes, Zack? What are you worried about now?
She looked over her shoulder to the Annabelles.
Zack likes to worry.
I don't like to worry. It just comes with a job. I just don't think we should be too anxious to piss Natasha off.
I only wish to be left alone.
Did you all hear that too?
Yes.
Maybe we should try talking to her.
Zack has a point.
I do?
Yes. She probably has a mental force field around her, so we need to have a plan. Zack, you distract her with conversation. You're good at distracting people. It's your one true talent. Then, when she's distracted, all sighs attack her mentally. All Annabelles and people, or near people, with energy weapons hit her with those. Long-range attacks are best.
I don't think any attacks are best.
Oh, Zack, you can't be right all the time.
I wouldn't make me angry. You won't like me when I'm angry.
Tua pointed at Natasha.
Aim!
I drew Gus and pointed him at Natasha. I had lots of reservations about opening fire. For one thing, she wasn't doing any harm. For another, I didn't think it would do any good. And for another, I didn't want to make her mad. No good could come from that. But Tua had her mind made up that this was the only way. I had to pray that this was one of those rare times when the violence first approach worked. Too bad I wasn't a religious man.
Fire! Think!
The Annabelles fired away. I could only assume that the Sais were thinking away. I withheld my fire. It was going to make much difference one way or another. If it looked like it would make a difference, I'd chip in. Natasha was still just hovering over the water peacefully. The energy attacks just bounced harmlessly off what I assume was her mental shield. The mental attacks may have been doing something, but if they were, I couldn't tell.
Keep hitting her, team. We're bound to break through.
No!
That was the last thing I remembered.
Zack! Zack, get up!
I just lay there on the ground, eyes closed. It felt like a dump truck had hit me, then rolled over me a couple of times, then dropped its load on me. How long was I out for?
Less than a minute.
I feel dead.
Well, you were.
What?
Zack, you weren't sleeping. Well, sleeping metaphorically with the fishes, maybe, but not sleeping in the traditional sense.
So, she killed me?
Yes. Luckily, I was able to restart your brain and use Gus to shock you.
Why'd she kill me? I didn't even...
It wasn't just you, Zack. She killed everybody. I don't think she did it on purpose.
What? My eyes shot open as I sat up. Looking around, I saw that my team and the Annabelles were strewn across the ground, lying there lifeless. All the grass in the area was dead. No birds were singing, no signs of life at all. So this was what happened when Natasha actually got mad. Oh no. I pushed myself up. I had to bring back the others.
The Earth Force medevac ship is still 2 minutes away, Zack.
I needed an idea, and I needed it 2 minutes earlier. Well, I figured if Harv could use Gus to revive me, I should have been able to revive everybody else with Gus. I lifted Gus up into the air.
Harv and Gus, I need you guys to work this out. Fireballs of electricity into Carol, Eleanor, Liz, Farah, and Tua. We need to at least get their hearts pumping. Then we'll worry about the Annabelles.
Harv appeared before me.
I understand.
I squeezed the trigger. 5 bolts of electricity flew from my gun. 1 each into Carol, Liz, Eleanor, Farah, and Tua. Each of the bodies jerked up and down. I quickly moved to Carol.
Ugh.
I bent over her to check her carotid pulse. It was there.
They are all showing signs of life.
Okay. Now for the androids. Lifting Gus into the air again, I fired. This time, 11 bolts of electricity went streaking into the air. Each hit one of the androids, but there was no reaction.
Apparently, not only was Earth Force wrong about being Psi-proof, but whatever they thought made them Psi-proof makes them harder to revive.
A giant shadow appeared over us. Looking up, I saw the bottom side of a huge Earth Force air cruiser.
Prepare to be evacuated.
A large door opened on the bottom of the ship. Rescue pods started falling to the ground. Medbots, BattleBots, and human soldiers in full battle armor rolled out of the pods that fell to the ground. The BattleBots and soldiers took up positions along the perimeter. The Medbot teams rolled to their patients, one team of bots on each of the fallen ladies. As I watched with great anticipation, General Wall strode up to me, assessing the situation.
Too bad my rapid emergency squad and I couldn't get here quicker from Earth Orbit Base 1.
Yeah, well, lucky you guys aren't any more rapid, or you'd all be dead now too.
We got here as fast as we could. The base is ultra secure. The only way up or down is by space elevator. Then to move this much firepower, we needed a big high-speed transport. It's impressive we responded as quickly as we did.
I pointed out the fallen ladies and all the dead fauna in the area. Yeah, impressive.
We were monitoring the situation over the sat feed. That was too impressive.
Was impressive on your word of the day calendar, General? Yes, it is quite impressive that Natasha could so easily kill such a powerful group.
Yes, that was remarkable. But I was talking about your performance.
General, all I did was die too.
Yes, but not many people can spring back to life on their own.
Okay, she had me on that one. The general was sharper than I gave her credit for. She knew something was going on with my resurrection. I wasn't sure how much she knew about Harv. Obviously, by then, the World Council knew he was connected to me. I assumed, therefore, that some higher-up generals knew, too. This may have been another one of those matters that were above General Wall's pay grade. Therefore, I made up a story. My body armor has a built-in fibrillation unit. When you're me, that's kind of standard equipment.
Yes, I've read your record. I can see where that would be true. The interesting thing is, you disappeared from the sat feed after the initial death strike.
I went into auto-stealth mode.
Another one of my armor's little tricks. Auto-stealth mode while I'm rebooting.
Impressive. I mean, ingenious. It was also fast thinking on your part to use your weapon to revive the ladies.
The general put her hand to her headpiece.
They are all going to live. My med team say your fast actions are what saved them.
Just doing my job, General.
Actually, your job was to find Natasha, and you have done that 3 times. It's my team that hasn't been doing its job. I'm ashamed at how easily she turned us all against you. Now you see how grave of a danger Natasha represents. You, Zack, must use all of your resources to help us bring her in before she can kill again.
It was just then that I realized, apparently, I wasn't public enemy number one any longer. Sure, I was a little slow to come around, but hey, I'd been dead. All I could guess was that after Natasha killed me, she figured there was no use making everybody want to kill me since I was already dead. Either that, or she knew I was no threat at all. Or quite simply, with me being dead, the world no longer had me to hate. Whatever. I would take that fact that the government wasn't hunting me down any longer as one good event in a day of really terrible events. So, you and your men have no urge to arrest or shoot me?
No. Not really sure what came over us.
Oh, come on, General. You must realize that Natasha zapped all your minds.
Now that would truly be an impressive feat if she could do that.
No ifs about it. What you call impressive, I call scary. General Wall looked me square in the eyes. She pondered her words. Before she could say anything, though, we both noticed 2 balls of energy appear a few meters from our position.
Oh, shit.
I had the feeling my terrible day was going to get even worse. The 2 balls of energy took shape into Ona and 3 Thompson. Both of them looked more worried than I'd ever seen them. And I've seen them both facing the world being annihilated by a brown hole. Ona stormed up to the general and me, while 3 headed over to the medbots tending the fallen.
General, how could you have let this happen?
I did not let anything happen, Madam Councilwoman Ona. The subject is just far more powerful than any of us surmised.
Oh, hi, Zack. Just once I wish we could meet when the world isn't in grave danger. But I guess my lot in life is to bear the responsibility that comes with great power.
Yeah, it must be terrible being a billionaire Super Babe World Council member.
I knew you would understand.
3 came running over to us.
Good news! The med team say everybody should completely recover. They are stable and ready to be evacuated to our facility in New Frisco.
Yes, that is good news.
Hi, Zack. Thanks for saving Tua.
Just doing my job.
Speaking of doing their job, General, we need to talk.
Ona and 3 were nice enough to let me tag along back to New Frisco in the medical transport ship they'd arranged. I was glad they understood the importance of me sticking with Carol and the others for the trip back. I was lucky that they both remembered how I hate teleporting. The med ship was a flying full-service hospital. All the previously dead ladies were in med recoup beds in a long medical dormitory. Each of them had one medical doctor and two medbots at their side, except for Tua, who had twice as much staff on her. Plus, Thria was constantly at her side. Ona, though, was suspiciously missing, and so was General Wall. Since the docs and the bots assured me Carol was stable, I walked over to see Thria.
Zack, how nice of you to come and check on Tua.
How's she doing?
She is strong. She will be back to pounding people in no time.
That's good. Where's Ona?
She's about to chew General Wall's and General Chen's asses off.
Oh? You World Council folks aren't happy with the military's approach to Natasha?
I've said too much already.
Come on, Thria. I've been to your realm. We fought side by side.
The Council deemed the project too dangerous 5 years ago. The members ordered them to scrap the project, but they continued it in secret. Secret even from us.
Bad military.
The accountants probably should have caught it, but somehow they didn't notice when the Area 51B spent over a billion credits on staples.
Before Thria could utter another word, Ona stormed into the room.
Thria, no need to tell Zack much more about our little mistake. He knows the pertinent facts. Natasha is out and must be stopped at all costs.
I didn't like the sound of that. Natasha may have been the deadliest being in the world, but she hadn't asked to be made that way. It wasn't her fault that when she got angry, people died. That was the government's fault. I found it hard to believe that I was defending Natasha, especially since she just, well, killed me. The powers that be may have made her, but I didn't think they had the right to kill her. Funny thing was, even though she did kill me and everybody else around, I got the feeling Natasha had taken it easy on us. She'd been in my mind, so she could have figured out that Harv and Gus would reset me and I'd save the others. All Natasha wanted was to be able to live her life. My brain was telling my gut that she might have killed us just a little, to prevent us from making her so angry that she killed us beyond medical repair. Ona and Thria must have seen the look of determination on my face.
I think he's worried. Are you sure it's not just gas?
It's not gas. Ona walked forward and patted me on the head, making it clear that she was the one in charge.
Oh, silly Zack. When we said stopped at all costs, we weren't talking about killing her.
You weren't?
Of course not. She's only to be frozen until we find a way to cut down on her power, bring her under control.
Yes, we appreciate the rights of superhuman women more than most people. We didn't want Natasha harmed.
Okay.
Unfortunately, Major Wall and One Star General Chen disagreed. They thought we needed her to combat the growing threat of people like her.
Wasn't it General Wall and Five Diamond General Chen?
Zack, they're lucky to have only been demoted. If I had my way, I would have Thria turn them into chickens. But we understand that may be bad for morale and for our image.
They are just fortunate Ona and I weren't on the council when the initial orders were given, or else I would get nasty with them.
The thing is, Zack, the genie is out of the bottle.
And now I have to get her to go back in.
You?
Ona, I know this sounds crazy, but I think I can talk Natasha into giving herself up, letting herself be frozen. We have a sort of a bond.
Zack, she killed you
and apparently made everybody hate you.
Yeah, I'd hate to see how she treated you if she didn't like you.
I think she did all those things to test me, to make me stronger. Like they say, whatever doesn't kill you and then keep you dead makes you stronger.
I don't think that's quite right.
Ona and Thria nodded. The point is, I'm not dead now. I came back. She knew Harv would revive me.
It's not a very good point.
I agree.
I don't think you can safely conclude that.
Harv turned to Ona and Thria.
I'm constantly amazed he's not killed more often.
I can find her and stuff the genie back in the bottle. The two superwomen just looked at me. They smiled.
He certainly is persistent.
Like a bad rash.
Okay, Zack. You can stay on the case.
Now that's what I call a rash decision.
Of course, if you can't convince her to turn herself in and submit to being frozen, then we will have to take matters into our own hands. You have 48 hours to find her.
When we arrived in Frisco, the medical staff escorted the wounded down to the special military hospital, and I escorted them. I was glad to see Elektra and Randy in the hospital waiting for us. Apparently, even the government was smart enough to recognize the value of those two being there. Elektra and Randy were moving from patient to patient, making sure they were all okay. Once satisfied, Elektra came over to me.
How are you feeling?
I've been worse.
They told me you were dead.
I got better.
You got better?
Harv saved me. For the first time, it occurred to me, that Harv had saved my life. He was being surprisingly discreet about it.
Just doing my job. If I wasn't built into your brain, I am sure Randy would have had some sort of backup defibrillator attached to your armor. Of course, you could have said thanks.
Right. Thanks, Harv.
I couldn't have you dying. As strange as you may be, I have a feeling my life wouldn't be as challenging if I was attached to any other human's brain. I'm a cognitive processor. I live for the challenges.
Glad to know I keep it exciting for you, and that you always have my back.
I have more than your back. I have your front, top, bottom, sides, and all your internal and external organs covered.
Getting back to the matters at hand, I pointed at the super ladies laying prone in their medical beds. Are they all going to be okay?
Yes, thanks to you, Harv, and the others. In a few days, they will all be up and around.
I felt better about that. Now it was time to focus on finding Natasha again. Electra must have seen the look of determination on my face.
So you're not giving up on this case yet?
Nah, can't do it.
You have to die twice before you quit a case?
Actually, three times. Four, max.
Aha. Zach, I'm serious. You died, and in the medical field, we always consider that to be a bad outcome. Obviously, there are some deaths we can't prevent and just need to accept, but you running off to battle some mega bitch isn't one of them.
I took Electra's hand, gently caressing it in my own. I lifted her hand to my chest and placed it over my heart. See? Still beating. Maybe I should have been more concerned with my death, however brief it may have been. The fact that it came and I lived through it somehow made me more determined than ever to find and stop Natasha. The fact that she had killed me was just one of the ever-growing list of things in my life that was better not to think too much about. A wise man knows what to think about and what to ignore. Of course, Electra was going to need more than that. Look, the fact that she killed me and I didn't stay dead should make you feel more secure.
If nothing else, this is going to be interesting.
Whatever the reason, my love, be it sheer dumb luck, a stubborn constitution, or being equipped with all the best science has to offer, I think I've proven I'm harder to kill than most.
I believe it's mostly because of the first and third factors, mainly the third, but luck somehow plays a role.
Whatever the reasons, I'm the one most suited for the job of stopping Natasha. If I don't do it soon, I just know things are going to get way worse way fast for everybody.
What's the next step, then?
I'm not sure yet.
So, business as usual.
Story of my life.
General, well, now Major Wall walked into the room. She stormed up to me and saluted. I found it strange, but I kind of dug it.
I understand you are in command of this operation for now.
That's news to me.
Zach is easily confused.
I am when it comes to the ways of Earth Force and the World Council. Wall looked down at the floor.
I don't blame you. Damn World Council, sticking their noses and asses in business they know nothing about.
Onan 3 are just trying to do what's best for the world.
I'm doing the same thing, keeping the world ordered and therefore safe.
Keeping the world safe from whom?
After all, we're all the same world now. The other planets leave us alone. They share technology with us, and all they ask in return is that we give them our dirt and chocolate chip cookies. I'm keeping the world safe from them.
Them?
The people who don't agree with us.
Us?
The people we agree with. The ones who want what is best.
In other words, people who think like you.
It's not that simple. My job is to maintain order, and I believe the best way to maintain order is to follow orders. Maybe it is that simple.
Sounds more like a credo than a job.
Semantics. When the spam hits the fan, it is my job to maintain that order at all costs.
That's nice to know.
Is it?
Sounds kind of scary to me.
Scary as it may have been, that statement told me a lot. You can't take the general out of the soldier, no matter what her current rank is. Wall was the type of person who would do whatever she needed to get the job done. I've got a question for you, Major.
Yes?
Why'd you put the kid on the job?
He was always bugging me for something to do. I figured this would keep him busy, and he might actually be helpful.
Surely you knew that Natasha would be too much for him.
Yes, but he works cheap. I was betting he wouldn't be able to track her down on his own, but that he would go after you. He's young and hot-headed. He'd want the bonus I promised for himself. I leaked the fact that you were also on the case. I knew he couldn't take you, but you, being the sucker you are, would probably take him on. That is what happened, isn't it?
I'm impressed, Major.
I do my homework before I make my plans. I knew he'd turn into a useful aid for you, giving you another tool to help you track down Natasha.
See, planning is good.
So, what's your plan, Johnson?
Is that the question of the day?
How do you plan on finding and stopping Natasha?
Frankly, I don't know yet.
You are totally baffled and have no plan of attack.
Totally baffled is a bit strong, but yes.
Thank you for being honest with me.
She turned and walked away.
What are you thinking about?
I'm gonna go home and take a nap.
Harv, of course, chastised me about wasting hours sleeping when I only had 47 of them left to track down Natasha. I assured him he shouldn't worry. I would only rest for a couple of hours to let my mind regroup. Reaching the bedroom, I plopped down on the bed. I didn't have the time or the energy to take my clothing off. I was exhausted. I would have said that I felt dead, but now I know what dead feels like, and it didn't feel like that. Death may have a bad reputation, but at least there's no stress.
How long do you wish to sleep for?
I'm not gonna sleep. Just close my eyes and think.
How long do you wish to sleep for?
3 hours? No, 4.
That will only give you 42 hours to track Natasha down.
Nice to know my computer can do math. I closed my eyes.
My main thought was that the first time I saw Natasha, I was sleeping. Maybe I could find her that way again? Or maybe she would find me. Whatever, it worked once, sort of. And I was desperate. I wasn't sure if Natasha and I really did have some kind of bond, but I thought we did. Of course, even if I was right, that still didn't mean the bond would be strong enough to give me a clue to her whereabouts. Thinking of the bond reminded me of something.
Harv, is Randy still at the hospital?
He's having his car drive him home now.
Great. Patch me through to him.
Zack, I thought you were going to sleep.
Harv, I thought I was the one in charge here.
You thought incorrectly.
Just connect me with Randy, Harv.
Coming up.
Randy's holographic image appeared in the middle of the room. He was in the back seat of his car, reclining. He opened his eyes.
Oh, hi, Zack. Not every day a person dies and comes back to life.
Randy, when I left, we had some unfinished business.
You're talking about the Peapod and Harv connection?
Yes.
Zack, Harv was, in a sense, the precursor to the Peapods. I learned a lot from him. The most important thing I learned was most people don't want or need a computer that is smarter than they are wired to their brain. People just want access to entertainment and information without either they or their computer thinking too much about it. Hence, the Peapods were born. All the information without all the headache.
I give you headaches.
Not just headaches.
Not to mention that with the Peapods, there is no searing pain from boring into the brain. The marketing consultants I hired told me that that would make it a tough sell, no matter what the price.
So can you use the Peapods to program people? Well?
It depends on how you define program. It is quite possible for advertisers to send specialized subliminal messages into people's brains via the link. Really, Zack, trust me. This is a good thing. We just help people know what they want. It saves them time and stuff. Getting what they want is a win for everybody.
You know, after this is all over, I'm going to have to go to the press about this. Let public opinion be the judge.
I won't stop you. You, of course, realize, though, if people poke around enough, Harv may become very public knowledge, too.
If anybody else had said it, I would have taken that as a threat. In Randy's case, I think he meant it as a statement of fact. He was probably right. The world would find out about Harv. After all these years of keeping him secretly locked in my brain, coming clean might be the best for all of us. I could be fairly certain the World Council already knew about Harv. There were obviously higher-ups in the military who had funded Randy's initial research who were aware of Harv's and my connection. In fact, the club we know Harv and Zack are connected was growing with every case I had. So, sure, it would be annoying if the press started poking around. Sure, I might lose some of the element of surprise if people knew Harv and I were connected and augmenting each other. The thing is, I could deal with it if I had to.
So be it. Let the chips fall where they may.
Anything else?
Not for now.
Then I think we both better get some rest.
Randy's image faded away. I closed my eyes. I figured I needed to get some sleep. I had died that day, yet something told me that the next day was going to be even tougher. Of course I couldn't sleep, at least not soundly. My mind was filled with images, images of people. There they were, wall-to-wall people of all shapes and sizes. Big people, little people, medium-sized people, slim people, fat people, sexy people, people whose own moms probably didn't find them attractive. People of all races and colors, People dressed as cowboys, spacemen, workers, strippers, doctors, nurses, sexy nurses, business people, soldiers, salesmen, the works. People of all ages, from crawling babies to toddlers, from tweens to teens, from young adults to the middle-aged, from seniors to centenarians to the way, way old. Concentrating my search through the myriad people, I tried to spot Natasha. The faces of each of the people before me came into focus, some very familiar. Electra, Carol, Randy, Captain Ricky, Ona Tua, Thria. Some mildly familiar. That officer who tried to rough me up, that other officer who tried to rough me up, various thugs who tried to do worse than rough me up, my date for the junior prom, my date for the junior prom's angry dad, who also tried to rough me up. Some faces I would have preferred to forget, but couldn't. Many of those people who've tried to kill me, a couple of ex-girlfriends, and a tax collector or two. It seems my mind was going through a replay of every single person I'd ever known. There was my mom sitting at her desk. There was my dad standing by a canvas, painting away. There was my first grade teacher explaining to every kid in my class the proper protocol for addressing her was not, "Hey you, lady," like Zach said. My aunts, my uncles, my nieces, my nephews. If I knew you, you were there. Gates, if I didn't know you but had seen you, you were there. My mind was stuffed with everybody and anybody I'd ever seen, except for one very glaring absence. There was no Natasha. I tried focusing more on the crowd. She had to be there. She'd been popping into and out of my dreams for the last couple of days. Now was no time for her to get shy. All the variety of body shapes and faces suddenly became the same generic body and face. Wave after wave of the same exact person, who was kind of an amalgam of all the other people I had known. No clear features, nothing distinguishing. They were all the same. Then, one face became clear through the masses. It was a very familiar face. It was me. Just then I caught a glimpse of another face. She was trying to blend in with the others, ducking behind one of them. But I knew who it was. Natasha.
Zach, your sleep time is up.
Opening my eyes, I sat up in bed.
Aw, Pepcak!
I see you were dreaming.
I might have had her if you let me sleep a few minutes more.
By dreaming? Zach, even you know you can't solve a case by dreaming.
Harv, even you know that this isn't your ordinary case. A maidbot rolled into the room with a cup of coffee on a tray. A claw-like hand extended from the maidbot's body, grabbing the cup. The arm extended upward to me, and I took the coffee.
Thanks, I needed that.
You've done your job. Now get out so I can do mine. You had a call from Thria while you were asleep.
Lovely.
She said she thinks she has a way to stop Natasha once you find her. She didn't say what it was. I asked, but she said I wouldn't understand because I was just a machine.
I wouldn't take it personally.
I stood up and stretched.
You wouldn't, but I did. Imagine her thinking you can understand something that I couldn't.
Can you connect me to her?
Gladly, no. Her realm is out of contact range. She can call us, but we can't call her.
That's not very useful.
I also took the liberty of telling Comic-Con you won't be there. I figure saving the world takes precedence over addressing groups of geeks.
That's when it hit me. Harv, can I still get into Comic-Con?
Zach, this is no time for you to get caught up by the small fan base you have. I'm sure I can find a way to get you in. But why?
Don't you get it, Harv?
I get almost everything, but not what you're getting at.
Natasha is a high-powered superhuman just looking to fit in and be accepted.
So?
Where do you find the most accepting people in the world, especially when dealing with super beings?
Comic-Con.
Bingo. It made perfect sense. The superhero poster and comics in her room. The quote from the old 2D show. She not only was an actual super being, but more importantly, she was a fan. Natasha was either at or heading to Comic-Con. That meant that that was where I was going. The question was, should I alert Ona and Thria? I decided to hold off on telling them. After all, with their personal teleporters, they could be there in minutes if I determined that Natasha actually was there. This way, I saved them from going on a super wild goose chase on the off chance that I was wrong. I would have loved to drive to San Diego, but speed was of the essence here. As much as I hated it, I had to port there.
Harv, book me a port reservation for San Diego, pronto.
Sorry, Zach. All ports into New San Diego are overbooked solid for the next 4 days.
Well, that's not...
good.
Suddenly, I was standing on a single-person port pad. Looking around, I saw space all around me. Turning to the right, there were three short, silver-skinned humanoid creatures with big foreheads and eyes to match, no noses, and small mouths. They all had albino white complexions. They were Gladians.
I just wasn't sure which of the Gladian planets they were from. I hopped off the port. I've dealt with the Gladians a couple of times in the past. Most humans have never even met an actual Gladian. I didn't know if that meant I was lucky or cursed. To what do I owe this pleasure?
Zachary Nixon Johnson, we need your help.
None of their mouths moved, so I wasn't sure which one I should address. So I decided to just look past the three.
Yeah, I assumed this wasn't a social chat.
Walking over near one of the transparent walls, I peered out. There was Earth in all its glory.
How far up are we?
Just 1,000 miles or so. We are cloaked, but your government knows we are here observing.
Observing what?
Observing who?
Observing who?
Observing whom?
What the doss are you doing here?
Why, Zachary Nixon Johnson. You should know we are interested in the one called Carol Guevara. She has acted as our liaison in the past.
Yeah, I remember the incident quite clearly. It's hard to forget Carol being redhead and radioactive. So, you're upset she's in the hospital. Don't worry. I assure you I've been assured that she's fine.
In unison, the three of them shook their heads no.
Well, we, of course, as passionate creatures, care about the one called Carol Guevara. We are fascinated by the possibilities presented by altering her DNA and creating the one called Natasha.
Fascinated in a good way or a bad way?
Time will tell.
They do say time heals all wounds. So why bring me here?
We figure you are a friend of the Gladians. You have worked with us in the past.
I'm friends with lots of people and aliens and bots. Come on, guys.
We are females.
All right, then. Come on, gals. There's more to it than this.
We think this Natasha may be dangerous.
Yeah, I've been here, done that with you guys before, with Fora Thompson. She was a threat to all that was, and I had to stop her at all costs. If I recall correctly, and I know I do, you threatened to, and tried to, crash a spaceship into Earth when you didn't think I could stop her.
Bygones will be bygones. Besides, those were our brothers from GLAD 7. We are from GLAD 8, the more rational of the GLADs.
So then, what are you proposing I do?
We're excited about the possibility Natasha presents, while at the same time leery that she may simply kill us all.
Yeah, that would be a bummer. I've been dead, and I can tell you it's a drag.
We want you to, as you say, take Natasha out. But leave her alive so we can study her along with your Earth scientists. She is an amazing being, just too dangerous to roam free.
Why bring me here?
We just wanted you to know we are interested too. You need to realize how important the stakes are here for your people and our people. Natasha could be a bond between us.
How so?
You would not understand.
Any helpful hints?
Don't make her mad. Sneak up on her. Hello, sail high.
So, this was just a pep talk?
The three heads bobbed back and forth.
And also to let you know our services are available if there is anything that we can do that won't attract attention to ourselves. Your government is funny. They took our knowledge but don't want our advice. Anything we do, they see as meddling.
Well, you are aliens, and you're fighting against 100 years or so of bad popular press. We depicted you guys as bad guys a lot.
We never invaded.
No, but you did poke and prod a fair number of humans in your day.
Science!
Research! We needed our fun, too.
I didn't push it anymore. I figured it didn't hurt to have aliens on my side.
Can you at least drop me off in San Diego?
We cannot travel through time.
New San Diego. I need to be dropped off in New San Diego.
Of course. Maybe you can pick us up some memorabilia.
We love that crap.
Now please stand on the pad and be prepared for transfer.
I reformed in the middle of a park in New San Diego. I was close enough to the convention center that I could see the building, but still far enough away that it was a nice walk.
Wow, that meet and greet with aliens was more useless than most meet and greets with aliens.
I started heading toward the convention center.
Not so.
True. At least I got free transportation to San Diego.
Harv started walking alongside of me. He was in shades and a t-shirt that read, "Geeks do it digitally." I guess it was his version of cover.
Wrong again, Zach. The Gladians requested a 1,000 credit transport energy fee.
And you paid it?
I had to, in the interest of human and alien relations.
So this was even more useless than I thought.
Do you ever get tired of being so wrong?
Do you ever get tired of driving me so crazy?
Do you even have to ask?
Harv!
Zach, quiet. I'm in disguise, and so are you. You are wearing hollow sunglasses, a cowboy hat, and boots.
Harv, what am I missing?
A sense of style and grace for two things.
What else, Harv?
The Gladians were involved in the initial tweaking of the human genome to create size.
Go on.
They sold us the original specs they based the first size on.
Why?
So I might be able to find a weakness in Natasha and take advantage of it.
Why didn't they tell me this?
They don't want humans to know, Zach. I wasn't supposed to mention it.
Then why are you telling me?
Since when do I do what carbon-based creatures tell me what to do?
Good point.
Besides, I just love showing you how wrong you are.
And?
I think I have done my job.
In proving me wrong?
Yes.
And finding a weakness.
My gun and my holo assistant were brainstorming for solutions without me. I wasn't sure if I should be happy or worried. What did you come up with?
Bright light.
And high-frequency sounds. I have modified myself so I can generate them both.
Good for you, Gus.
Good for all of us. We have deduced that if you hit Natasha with a burst of bright light and then high-pitched sound, there is a likelihood you will incapacitate her at least for a short time.
Can you be more specific?
Between 10 seconds and 10 minutes. Our data was a bit sketchy, and you're only as good as your data.
Just curious. How much did all this info cost me?
I haggled.
How much?
Let's put it this way. We better catch Natasha.
Heading toward the building that was the new San Diego New Convention Center, or the NSDNCC for short, I couldn't help reminiscing about the old days. Back when I was a kid, my dad, a bit of a geek, would take me to Comic-Con. In those days, it wasn't quite the media Cirque du Soleil that it is today. Sure, it was big, bulky, and congested with fans, media writers, current stars, wannabe stars, ex-stars trying to relive their glory. You get the idea. Back in the early days, they had only added two floors to the original convention center, and the con was attended by only around 300,000 people. Comic-Con had actually suffered a lull in attendance around the 2020s. Two events, one major and one not-so-major, contributed to this dip. The not-so-major one was the comic book companies decided they could replace human artists and writers with bot artists and writers. After all, bot artists work cheaper, smell better, need less pampering, don't sleep, don't take vacations, or spend work time looking at porn on the web. The list goes on. This was so appealing to the money people and the suits at the big comic book companies that they hired a team of consultants and programmers to create a database of images and ideas that these bots would draw from. Their point was that all the good ideas have been done already, and we're just recycling ideas from 100 years ago and calling them rebranding or modernizing. Tweet, machines can do that. The end result was hundreds of artists and writers replaced by three bots who just cranked out material. For a while, the small independent publisher stayed organic with actual human creators, insisting that's what the people wanted. Soon, though, the lure of a cheap and endless supply of material caused even them to switch to bot-driven material. A few underground human-drawn comics still existed, some artists even doing their comics on real paper. Problem was, without a marketing budget, hardly anybody heard of them. At first, bot-created comics sold well simply because they were all first issues, and buyers naturally assumed they would all be collector's items. The comic book companies helped to perpetuate this by creating many different but still mostly the same storylines, so they could all be first-issue collector's editions. The result for Comic-Con was that it wasn't nearly as fun interacting with a few bot creators as it was meeting human creators. So not only were there fewer creators at the con, but fewer fans. The really major change, though, was the arrival of actual real aliens on Earth in 2020. Once aliens made it known they really existed, pretending to be aliens at cons wasn't nearly as fun or attractive. Not only that, but the first aliens to arrive said they were quite offended by how they were depicted in our media. They were always either overly evil, bent on just destroying the world, or they were overly sweet and lovable, just eating pieces of peanut butter candy and looking to make long-distance calls. The aliens pointed out that their personalities come in many shades of gray. They are as different and varied as people. And most annoying to them was that they really preferred chocolate candy. Defenders of aliens in popular culture pointed out that many popular shows had featured aliens of different types, showing a vast array of personalities. The aliens countered by saying real aliens never say anything as hokey as "May the Force be with you" or "Live long and prosper." The end result was that Comic-Con wasn't that fun a place to be for a few years after 2020. Then, two things happened to revive comics and popular culture. First,
The movie and HV industry figure they could save tons of credits by replacing human actors with holographically simulated actors and computer-driven, i.e. written, stories. Luckily for those of us who are fans of human-created organic entertainment, the actors and writers' unions were very powerful and influential. Tweet: these days, the best way into politics is as an actor or a rock star. The union convinced the viewing public that shows created by machines for humans just weren't fun enough. They started an entire campaign stating that entertainment is as much mysticism as anything else, and humans can create works that machines can't. The viewing public bought it and demanded more organic programming. Now the entertainment and comic industry is a mix of humans and bots working together to provide better, i.e. more profitable entertainment for all. As for the aliens, after a few years they decided their protests were just darn silly. Yeah, those are the exact words they used. They had now decided that their depiction in popular media was actually just good fun and good for human and alien relationships. They could see why humans enjoyed blowing off steam by showing up at these conventions dressed as aliens. They would no longer protest. Today, some claim aliens come to these conventions dressed as humans. Based on many of the attendees I've seen, I wouldn't rule that out. All this meant that Comic-Con became more popular than ever. So popular that some people felt the convention was outgrowing the convention center and that they'd need to move it from New San Diego. Of course, the popular masses wouldn't hear of it. Based on the very simple logic, it's always been here, let's keep it here. Some people then suggested building a new convention center. Once again, the it's always been here, let's keep it here argument prevailed. So instead of building a new convention center, every few years they add a new floor to the existing one. When I was just out of college, there were 6 floors. Now there are 12. By the time I was done waxing poetic about the past, I'd reached the crowd of people lining up to attend the convention. The doors had been open to the public for a couple of hours now, but the line still extended at least a kilometer.
I do have a pass to get in, right?
Yes. Obviously, they would have let you in as Zachary Nixon Johnson, since some people here look at you as a real-life comic book.
Such is my lot in life.
But I knew you would be better served coming incognito so you could get around more freely. I have obtained for you a media government pass, granting you all access.
How'd you swing that?
It's best you don't ask.
I already did.
Just don't be surprised if you hear about some of your old underwear on sale at E Square Bay.
What?
Not all of it. Just some old pieces you really shouldn't wear any longer. It's embarrassing for both myself and Electra, as well as it should be for you.
You sold my underwear?
Yes. I sold the pair you were wearing the day you first saved Sexy Sprocket's life.
You keep track of that stuff?
I could easily.
Yeah, but do you?
No, of course not. Even I, with mega-powerful cognitive processors, who can do a billion things at once, don't want to waste any processing power on that.
Oh.
The main point here is that the buyer thinks that the underwear's authentic. Thanks to advertising and marketing, perception is all that matters.
If you say so.
We had now walked past at least half the crowd. I could see the door that the main crowd was being herded into. I also saw the media politician's door just a few hundred meters past that. The stars and talent had their own entrance on the roof. Some of them were so popular, they had to be ported into the building.
Truthfully, it never ceases to amaze me that other humans would be interested in your underwear as a collectible. I know it's not a high number, but the fact that there is any demand is kind of scary.
You know, I do save the world from time to time.
Yes, but it's usually due to sheer luck and persistence and having me by your side. I swear, Zach, a chimp could be trained to do what you do, and not an especially bright one.
Yeah, but he wouldn't look nearly as good in the fedora and trench coat as I do. Like you said, it's all marketing and perception.
We had now passed the fan entrance. In a minute or two, I'd be in the building. And hopefully, there would be something to distract Har from rambling on about the value of my underwear.
I don't think a chimp could ever replace you, Mr. Zach.
Thanks, Gus. That's why you're my favorite.
I couldn't see Har, but I knew somewhere he was rolling his eyes. Strolling up to the media and politicians' gate, I was happy to see that while the line was long, it wasn't as intimidating as the fans' line. I took my position behind a human reporter and her bot camera crew. The bots were branded WNN, so I knew they were from World News Now. The pretty young blonde reporter smiled at me, took one look at my badge, frowned, and turned around.
Harv, who the spam am I pretending to be?
You're a blogger from blogswithoutspam.news.
Ah, that would explain the look of contempt. Even today, after nearly 70 years of being around, the mainstream news media still looks down on bloggers. No problem. I could use that to my advantage. The less attention paid to me, the better. Moving closer to the entrance as the crowd inched up, I had to get my mind back on the case. Where in this mass of humanity and geekdom would Natasha be?
Harv, show me today's schedule.
Zach, there are over 5,000 events going on.
Just do it.
The list of events scrolled across my eyes, almost too fast to comprehend. Still, somehow I was able to. I sorted out the ones I knew she wouldn't be interested in. Signings and promotional events, no way. Live-action role-playing games, no way. Virtual role-playing games, even less of a chance. 15 different seminars on how you too can write for comics, interactive comics, and HV. Nope. A 5-minute advance trailer for Kangaroo Man 22. Nah. Even I think that series lost something after the 10th movie. There had to be something on this list that would interest a super powerful killer babe who really didn't want to be a killer. A discussion of the 20th anniversary of the 6th retelling of the Dark Phoenix saga. That was it. They were going to have a panel discussing its merits on the 7th floor at 1 p.m. That had to be where she'd be.
She'll be at the Dark Phoenix retelling discussion.
How can you be so certain?
Dark Phoenix was a vastly powerful, beautiful woman who both reveled in her power and had trouble dealing with it. Does that tell you anything?
That you're a geek.
I may be a macho guy, but like most people, I do have some geek tendencies. Doss, I have a computer wired to my brain. So there was a lot of classic comic book reading in my past. Even these days, on occasion, I'll still glance through one.
Your pass, buddy.
The guard at the door was a big man who hadn't shaved in a day or two. I guess he thought it made him look tough. To me, he just looked lazy.
Oh, sure.
I pointed to the holographic badge on my chest. The guard bent over toward me, eyeing the badge.
This badge is fake.
No, that can't be.
You bought this from Charlie, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
I guess so.
Yeah, well, they fired Charlie a couple hours ago. He was selling fake tickets for crazy prices.
I saw two guard bots rolling toward us.
I'm afraid you'll have to go with the bots for a while.
Why? I didn't know the ticket was fake.
Dude, ignorance is no excuse.
Before I could comment that ignorance is actually a perfectly legitimate excuse, two guard bots were now on top of me. They were the 10-armed, heavily armored type. Basically, they were small tanks with arms and little robo-head human interface screens on top. They meant business.
Come with us peacefully, sir.
One of the guard bots grabbed my right arm with a claw-like hand.
We do not wish to hurt you, but we are quite capable of doing so.
Where are we going?
We have cooling off cells in the basement where we keep troublemakers.
For how long?
Until you calm down or the police come to take you away. They usually send a paddy wagon hover over around midnight.
About 5 minutes later, the guard bots closed the door and left. Looking around, I saw my cellmates, about 50 people, all guys dressed in assorted costumes, from space explorers to superheroes to ninjas to princes.
I have good news for you.
Harv, I'm locked in a cell with a bunch of costume mega-geeks.
I think they prefer to call themselves pop and electronic culture connoisseurs.
So, what's the good news?
I managed to maintain your holo disguise, even though the guard bots had some holo-detecting software.
Great. So I'm locked up, but nobody knows I'm me.
Yes, your image doesn't need any more negative marks.
A man dressed as a wizard with a long purple robe walked over to me. He was a short man, probably in his early 20s. His only discernible feature was a long nose that seemed to take up over half his face. If he really was a wizard, he would have made that disappear long ago.
What are you in for, my brother?
Trying to get in with an illegal ticket. The man's face dropped, and he slowly backed away.
What gives with him?
Zach, you know Comic-Con is a really big deal in New San Diego. It's the one thing they feel separates them from the rest of the world. It's what they do best.
Though I understand the zoo and aquarium are also lovely.
True, but the con gives them less hassle from animal rights activists and, more importantly, makes more money than anything else. So, people who sneak in are really despised, as it not only hurts the economy, but robs the con itself.
Out of the corner of my eye, I saw the fake wizard talking to a man dressed in an ogre costume. I know it was a costume because I've met real ogres and they don't look nearly as silly as the man did. The wizard was pointing at me. The ogre listened to the wizard talk for a few more nanos, glaring at me and nodding his head. Yep, this guy was the cell muscle, the one who ran the show, or at least thought he did. Once the wizard was done talking, I knew the ogre would be over to teach me a lesson. Sure enough, he started lumbering over toward me. The bad news was I was about to get into a brawl. The good news was I hadn't been in a brawl all day, and I was kind of starting to miss the action. The really good news was that this guy wasn't a real ogre, so this would be a short fight. He thrust a finger into my chest.
I understand you tried ripping the con off.
While he might not have been a real ogre, he did have the ogre's smell down. His breath reeked of cheap beer. I grabbed the finger he was jabbing me with and pulled it backward.
I'm just a poor blogger trying to make a living.
I forced the guy down to his knees. Do you have any complaints about that?
Actually, I do. Hence the reason I came over. We don't like people trying to rip off the con.
He swung his free hand at me wildly, actually trying to hit me in the groin. He missed, of course, so I drove his face into the floor. I stepped over him, never releasing the finger. I twisted his arm behind his back while placing my left leg on top of his shoulder.
Let me rephrase that. Fine!
In a way, I gave the guy some cred. He was standing up for what he thought was right. I needed to give him a way out.
If I say it won't happen again, can we decide to call this a draw? Sounds fair. We all make mistakes.
I released his arm, let it drop to the floor, and started to walk away from him.
Good. I'm glad we could be reasonable about this.
He's going to rush you, isn't he?
I had hoped not, especially after I'd given him a break. Still, people who are drunk and in costume do things they would never do sober and in their daily clothing, and probably wouldn't do if they were just one or the other. The combination, though, was dangerous. It was probably compounded by the fact that I had put him down on the turf that he thought he ruled.
Tell me when he's coming.
Now.
Spinning around, I clocked him right between the eyes with a left jab. The look of surprise on his face, the nano before he blacked out, was priceless. It probably felt much better than it should have as I watched him crash backward to the ground.
Anybody else have any problems with me?
They all shook their heads no. Now it was time to get out of this joint. The crowd would give me space, which allowed me to concentrate on the room. The cage was a couple of hundred meters long, with doors on each end.